The book of Revelation and to chapter 7. The question is often asked, what will life be like in heaven? And here we are given a description of life in heaven. And this, in fact, is our text for this evening. We hope to spend time considering the words of these verses. So we'll read them together now, Revelation 7 and from verse 15. Let us hear the word of God. Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will spread his tent over them. Never again will they hunger. Never again will they thirst. The sun will not beat upon them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd. He will lead them to springs of living water. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Presented in these verses, we have a description of the life of the redeemed in heaven. All those who hear the word of Christ and believe on him possess eternal life, and they will not be condemned. In the words of Christ from John 5 and verse 24, they have in the here and now crossed over from death to life. And in fact, we begin to experience that life here on earth as we live for God in the here and now. But we will experience that life to a far greater extent in heaven. In heaven, when we will be delivered not only from the power and punishment of sin, but also from the presence of sin. Isn't that what aggravates us and frustrates us and gets us down in this life? Because we are bombarded with the presence of sin. Yes, we see it in our own hearts, and it disappoints us that it's there. But it is there, and it will continue to be there until we are taken to heaven. And then it's in the culture and in the cosmos. It's all around us, and it disturbs us, and it often destroys our peace, takes away our peace. Well, the passage before us tonight describes for us what life will be like when the presence of sin is no more, when we will be in heaven. What will that be like? Well, first of all, we notice here that it will be a life of unwearied service. It will be a life of unwearied service. Verse 15, therefore they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. When a fellow Christian dies, we normally speak of that person going to his eternal rest. And that is a right and biblical concept. For we read in Revelation 14 and verse 13, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, says the Spirit, they will rest from their labor, for their deeds will follow them. They will rest from their labor. However, the rest experienced in heaven is not to be thought of as the rest of going to sleep and never waking up. The rest of heaven is not to be compared or considered as the rest of idleness, the rest of sloth. Neither is it to be compared to the rest of holiday. Some people lounging on a sunbed beside a swimming pool have been heard to say, oh, this is just heavenly. Is that what heaven will be like? No, far from it. Heaven will be much, much more enjoyable than that. And heaven will be much more satisfying than that. In fact, we will be busy in heaven. Yes, we shall rest. We shall rest from all the labors and all the trials and all the struggles and all the frustrations, which are very much part of work in the here and now, which are very much affected by the curse that came after the fall of our first parents. It's the thorns and the thistles that make work irksome and burdensome this side of the grave. We shall not have that kind of work to do, but we shall have plenty to occupy us in heaven, as our text informs us. Therefore they are before the throne of God and shall serve him day and night in his temple. They shall serve him. What will such service consist of? Well, we cannot be definitive. We cannot be exact. But we do know that it will center around the worship of God. It will center around the praise of the Lamb. And we do that now. We serve him in that way now. But then in heaven it will be perfect praise. Then in heaven it will be perfect worship. Our service on earth is often marred because it is rendered half-heartedly. We're to worship God with our whole beings. We're to be wholehearted in our devotions. But who among us can ever say that we've been 100% wholehearted in every aspect of the worship, in the praises and in the prayers, in the scripture readings, and giving perfect attention to the preaching of the word? None of us can say that we are 100% wholehearted in our devotions. But in heaven, we will be 100% wholehearted, nothing held back. And then it will be unwearied service and unwearied worship. Some of you are tired after a busy week at work. And so tiredness creeps in, even at worship, when we should not be tired, when we should be full of energy and enthusiasm for every aspect of the worship service. But we're human, we're frail, and the work that we have in the world takes its toll. And so it affects the perfection of our worship and our service. But at death, all this is changed. We become glorified. We become perfect. The Catechism question number 37 asks the question, what benefits do believers receive from Christ at death? And the answer is, the souls of believers are at their death made perfect in holiness and do immediately pass into glory, their bodies being still united to Christ to rest in the graves until the resurrection. And then, of course, they are raised up, perfect, like unto his glorious body. And so in heaven our souls will be made perfect in holiness. The last day they will be reunited with our bodies. And then body and soul at the resurrection will be reunited to serve God and to worship God, night and day, continually. Will there be night in heaven? Well, it says later on in the book of Revelation, chapter 21, there will be no night there. And there are some people who love to find contradictions in the word of God, and they would say, well, it says in Revelation chapter 7 that they will worship God night and day. And then it says in Revelation 21 that there will be no night there. But friends, that's not a contradiction, because the Bible communicates to us in a very colourful way. And so when it says that in Revelation chapter 7 that we shall worship God night and day, it simply means that we shall worship God without interruption. We cannot do that here because of our imperfections. If I kept you worshipping God right through until the morning, I don't know what shape some of you would be in. So this is simply saying that there will be no such thing as day and night, but the language that we're familiar with here on earth is used to communicate to us that our worship will be continuous. It will be uninterrupted by the normal interruptions that affect us here in this earth. And then where will this worship take place? Well, we are told here in verse 15, serve him day and night in his temple. And then there's another apparent contradiction, because we read in Revelation 21, verse 22, I did not see a temple in the city, because the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. Again, there is no temple, no literal temple. But the temple referred to here in chapter 7 is Christ. Because as we were discovering in the Bible class this morning, that in Haggai chapter 1, that the temple to be built was to be more illustrious, more glorious than the former one. But that wasn't true literally. But it was true symbolically, because the second temple pointed forward to Christ. And he is the temple of God. And he is the one who is illustrious. And we're part of that. And there is a sense in which this verse alludes to that. That we're worshipping in the presence of Christ, before his throne. And we are the temple of God today. And it's interesting to note that the word used for temple here means inner sanctuary. And that is the meaning in this place and Revelation 7 and also throughout the book of Revelation. And so it corresponds to the Holy of Holies in the wilderness tabernacle. Or it corresponds to the most holy place in the temple at Jerusalem in the Old Testament period of the church. That place in the temple which signified the presence of God. Then Christ, through his death and resurrection, has ascended into the heavenly sanctuary. And in this way, he's opened up the way for all believers to enter into the Holy of Holies, to enter into the most holy place, to have access directly into the presence of God. In the Old Testament, only the high priest could enter into the most holy place, and that but once a year, after being sprinkled with blood. But we, in the new covenant era, through faith in Christ, have constant, continual access through Christ into the presence of the most holy God. And of course, we don't make the most of that opportunity. How much have you prayed today? How much have you talked to your Father in heaven? Well, it might be embarrassing if we all began to tell how little we have availed ourselves of access into the most holy place, into the direct presence of God. Why have we not? Well, we were tired, or we were occupied with other things. We were talking to friends. There's so many things that distract us. But in heaven, there will be nothing to distract us, because we will be in the inner sanctuary. We will be in the presence of God, and there we will worship him day and night, continually, forever. This concept that is brought before us here of worshiping God in an unwearied and in an uninterrupted way is really the fulfillment of many of the covenant promises that we find in the Bible. Leviticus 26 and verse 12, I will walk among you and be your God, and you will be my people. That's what heaven will be like. That's what the Garden of Eden was like. God walked with his children, with Adam and Eve, in the cool of the day. There was union and communion. And in heaven, there will be union and communion. Uninterrupted, unwearied service. Uninterrupted, unwearied devotion. Again, we see a reference to heaven in Ezekiel 37, 26 and 27. I will put my sanctuary, that's that inner place, the holy place, I will put my sanctuary among them forever. My dwelling place will be with them. I will be their God, and they will be my people. What pictures we have that will be fulfilled in heaven for all true believers. And who will that consist of? Who will be in heaven? Those who have been joined to Christ on earth. And so it's vain, it's futile to think of heaven if you have not been united to Christ by faith on earth. And so that's why there's always an evangelistic appeal. That's why there's always a call to every congregation to make sure. To make sure in your heart of hearts that you have trusted Christ. Because you will know nothing of all the wonders and glories of heaven if in this life you've not repented of your sin and trusted Christ for salvation. Heaven then for God's people, servants of Christ, and it will be a life of unwearied service. Then secondly, we note here that it will be a life of unlimited security. It will be a life of unlimited security. There's never perfect security on earth. The policemen in Afghanistan who were travelling through Kabul thought that they were secure, and suddenly the bus in which they were travelling was blown up and 26 of them died. And we know from our history here that even though we had all kinds of security measures during our troubles, many lives were taken because there's no such thing on earth as perfect security. But in heaven there will be perfect security. And to verse 15, and he who sits on the throne will spread his tent over them. Never again will they hunger. Never again will they thirst. And he who sits on the throne will spread his tent over them. We shall be covered by God's tent. And this conveys to us the picture of a gracious God welcoming us to heaven. Akin to the words in the parable of the talents. Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Come and share your master's happiness. And of course, the picture of being covered by God's tent also indicates many other blessings, some of which the text goes on to define. Never again will they hunger. Never again will they thirst. I read somewhere recently that a quarter of the world's population is hungry. A quarter of the world's population will go to bed tonight with pangs of hunger in their stomach. But in heaven we will be covered by God's tent. We will know the full meaning of being taken into God's banqueting hall. Provision being made there for all our needs. Never again will they hunger. But not only does the tent speak to us of provision, but it also speaks to us of protection. The end of verse 16. The sun will not beat upon them, nor any scorching heat. Now, we seldom need protection from the sun in this country. Increasingly, however, we are being warned to protect ourselves from the sun because of the dangers that it presents, even in our temperate climate. But in heaven, we will be protected from all kinds of dangers, which the sun here is meant to symbolize. There are dangers that we are all open to as we travel along the road. There are dangers that we are open to even in our own homes. There are dangers that we are exposed to as we travel. There are dangers that we are exposed to at work. No such thing as perfect security in this life. But in heaven there will be. The sun will not beat upon them, nor any scorching heat. In heaven there will be nothing to harm us, nothing to hurt us, nothing to cause us to be afraid, nothing to trouble us. Psalm 91, verses 9 and 10. If you make the Most High your dwelling, even the Lord who is my refuge, then no harm will befall you, no disaster will come near your tent. And there is a sense in which we claim these promises in the here and now, because we are exposed to all these dangers. And often we thank God as we come to the end of a day, or the end of a week, or the end of a year, that we have been spared from danger seen and unseen. But many of us fall victims to one kind of difficulty or another at various times throughout our lives. But there in heaven, there will be perfect security. In the words of Richard Brooks, no old sins will rise up to torment us, and no more will there be any suffering for the precious name of Jesus. So heaven will be a life of unwearied service. Heaven will be a life of unlimited security. And then, thirdly, heaven will be a life of unblemished satisfaction. A life of unblemished satisfaction. Verse 17. For the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd. He will lead them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. And friends, this satisfaction will preeminently be in Christ. As we see him in all his glory, in all his majesty, in all his dominion. It's captured for us in Psalm 17, the last verse of the Psalm, verse 15. And I, in righteousness, I shall see your face. When I awake, I shall be satisfied with seeing your likeness. Satisfied. Something that eludes us completely in this life. We're never completely satisfied, but when we get to heaven, satisfaction will be ours principally and primary, because we behold Christ and enjoy him. Christ in this last verse of the chapter, verse 17, is depicted as the Lamb. He's also depicted as the Shepherd. Now that's a strange combination for anyone unaware of Christ's role as the Son of God. Christ's role in the divine plan. Christ is truly the Shepherd who leads his sheep and makes provision for his sheep. But he is more than that. He is the good shepherd who laid down his life for his sheep. The good shepherd who, by doing so, became at the same time the Lamb of God who bears away the sin of the world. The shepherd became the Lamb in order to make spiritual provision for his people, in order as the Lamb to die upon the cross as a sacrificial victim, so that he might draw his people to himself, to have them cleansed by his precious blood, to have them redeemed from the wrath to come. So as the shepherd, he is our God, tenderly caring for his people. And as the Lamb, he is our fellow human being, who offered himself, who died on the cross in our place. The unblemished satisfaction of the heavenly home is further highlighted by the picture of springs of living water. The water throughout Scripture symbolizes life and life eternal. And the springs of water indicate the source of all life and all blessing. Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd, will lead us to springs of living water. Inexhaustible supplies of blessing. This reminds us that in heaven, we shall be at the very source and focus of all spiritual life and blessing. There will never be any sense of something missing. Irrespective of where we are or what we're doing, we always get a sense that there could be something else present. At a meeting for worship, there could be other people here. There's something missing. Or with regard to homes, there's always something else that could be done. But when we get to heaven, there won't be any sense of anything missing. We shall have everything we desire and desire everything we have. Have everything we desire and desire everything we have. Psalm 23 and verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall lack nothing. And we shall be delivered from all sorrow. And God shall wipe away, as we read at the end of the verse, and God shall wipe away every tear from their eyes. A further fulfillment of the covenant promise, as we read in Isaiah 25 and verse 8. There we were assured that God would swallow up death forever. That's something that haunts us in this life. The creeping up of death. We don't know when it will be. It could be tomorrow, it could be next week, but death is sure, friends. That's part of life. Generations come and pass away. Preachers of the gospel come and go. We live in the midst of death, but here we are assured that the Lord will swallow up death forever, and the sovereign Lord will wipe away the tears from all faces. Yes, here on earth our joys are often tempered by sorrows. We are no strangers to the vale of tears or the valley of the shadow. But our God will not only deliver us from actual sorrow, but from even the possibility of it. And most of us, I don't think tonight, are in sorrow. But we see sorrow looming on the horizon as we think of what is likely to happen in the near future or the distant future, because all families are affected by grief at one stage or another. But in heaven, there will be no possibility of that. Death will be swallowed up forever. And so how wonderful to be a citizen of heaven. And we can be a citizen of heaven, even while we are citizens on earth. That's because of our relationship to the King of Kings, the King of Heaven. And if we love the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior and Lord, then we are already in the here and now citizens of heaven. We have got our passport. And what all that is required to gain entrance into the heavenly home. And I trust that all of you are in that relationship and that you have that passport and that you will receive the well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of thy Lord. And if that is the case with all of you, then our service, the service that we will be engaged in heaven, will have already begun on earth. Because who are we serving? Who are we serving when we're teaching in the classroom? When we're making those official decisions in the office? When we are in the lecture theatre? When we're in the factory or the farm? We ought always to keep in mind that we are serving Christ. Ultimately, He is our master. The boss may not take notice. That's insignificant. That's irrelevant. Because He sees all things. And it's His reward and His acclamation that is all important. And so begin to experience serving Christ in the here and now. And also begin to experience life surrounded by God's security. Facing each day with the confidence that He is watching over us. And then begin to experience a life replete with God's satisfying grace, the contentment that only the godly can understand. Contentment. Who is perfectly content? Nobody. Nobody in this life is perfectly content. But contentment ought to be a characteristic of the godly. And we should be increasingly content with our lot in life because we know that God is in control of all things. But ultimately, true contentment will only be found in heaven when we find ourselves perfectly satisfied in His presence. Goodness and mercy, Psalm 23 concludes, shall follow me all the days of my life. That's the believer speaking, who has a foothold in heaven. And then there's this anticipation, and we shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Life in heaven. Heaven will be a life of unwearied service. Therefore they are before the throne of God and serve Him day and night in His temple. Heaven will be a life of unlimited security. And He who sits on the throne will spread His tent over them. Never again will they hunger. Never again will they thirst. The sun will not beat upon them, nor any scorching heat. And heaven will be a life of unblemished satisfaction. For the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd, and He will lead them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away all tears from their eyes. Amen, and may God bless to us His word.